recent time as well. So that's kind of an update in a nutshell. Again, if any of you have any requests or questions, I should say, we do have a sign up in the back as well if you'd like to get our bi-monthly prayer update. We send that every 2 months. We're not going to do spam or forward from Uncle Fred or anything like that. But if you'd like to get an update of the ministry specifically, we would love to send that to you every 2 months. And we do appreciate your prayers and faithfulness. Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to 2 Timothy, a very familiar text I'd like us to look at this evening. Oh, I never turned this on. Sorry about that. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at some verses that most of you, if not all of you, could quote from memory. And we're going to start in verse 14, go down through verse 17, and just look at these exciting verses. As you're turning there, let me just mention or ask, how many of you like guarantees or warranties, especially a lifetime guarantee when you buy something? How many of you like that? I see some smiles. I see some hands. I'm going to put both hands up, all right? I remember some years ago, I went to Home Depot and bought a screwdriver set by Popular Mechanics, which has a lifetime guarantee on their products. And I like to do handyman work. I'm not really a good handyman necessarily, but kind of in Cameroon, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And you get into plumbing and you get into electrical and all kinds of things that a non-tradesman should get into. And one day I was doing some electrical work. I thought I had cut the power and all the switches on that side of the house. And I was getting my screwdriver into an outlet in a socket there, and all of a sudden I heard a very strange noise, and I pulled my screwdriver out, and it was completely fried. It was melted and twisted, and it was totaled. And then I remembered, I have a guarantee on this. And I thought, I wonder if you do the damage if they still give you a guarantee on that. So I figured I'd give it a try, and I went back to Home Depot, and I explained what I had done to that screwdriver, and the technician said, oh yeah, no problem. In fact, we get guys, they'll find tools that have been run over on the interstate, and they just bring them in here, and we give them a new tool. I said, well, great, I need a new screwdriver. And so they gave me a new screwdriver about the same size as the one that I had in the set. And that was encouraging. Having a lifetime guarantee or warranty is encouraging. Well, this evening, we're going to look at a very familiar passage about the Word of God. And I want to remind you that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That is the only place in the entire Bible you will find the word success. And it is a guarantee directly related to your obedience and your relationship to this book. That is an awesome promise. That is an awesome guarantee from God's Word. And so as we look at these verses about the inspired Scriptures, I hope that we will remember that we have a guarantee of success. Now, again, it's not the world's definition of success, okay? But it is God's definition of success as we heed and obey this book that we hold in our hands and in our laps this evening. I hope you're all there now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray as we continue this evening. Father, we thank You for Your living, inspired, preserved Word. Father, without Your Word, we would not know of the history in Genesis. We would not know of the fall of man. We would not know of our helpless condition or the hope and the assurance and the promise of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we love and appreciate Your Word. And I pray that as we have
open your word, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and we would submit to your will and your way this evening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14, as I said, Paul is reminding Timothy where the teaching and the doctrine came from that he taught and that Timothy learned along the way. And then there are three more verses, and we're just going to take one point from each of those verses. And we're going to see that the Word of God is dependable. And our challenge this evening is for each of us to depend on the Word of God in every area of our life. Look at verse 15, if you would, please. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Tonight, the Word of God is challenging us, depend on the Word of God for salvation. Depend on the Word of God for salvation. I was in a meeting not long ago, and some of the young people who are about to go off to college were sharing testimonies. They were sharing their salvation testimony. They were sharing their testimony of their plans to go off to college or university, depending on where they were going. And I was impressed that each one of those young, it was actually four young ladies, each one of those young ladies, as they were sharing their testimony of salvation, all shared how they trusted Christ as a child, a young child. But then along the way, they begin to wonder and doubt their salvation. And each and every one of them came back to the reality and the promises of this book right here. One mentioned John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it was their dependence on the promise in God's Word that gave them the assurance and the confidence of their salvation. You can depend on God's Word for salvation. As I was thinking about what I just shared about the Holiday Bible School, as we call it in Cameroon, or Vacation Bible School, as we call it here in the States, and the rites and their ministry and the people in our church that jumped in and the 30 children who trusted Christ as Savior just a couple weeks ago. Even a child who puts his dependence on the gospel message declared in this book has complete confidence in and of their salvation. What a blessing. Some months ago, we had a man, his name was Emmanuel, and he visited our church, and he visited again, and I started asking the people in our church, "Does anybody know Pa Emmanuel?" We call out of respect in Cameroon, give them that title. He's 80 years old, and I said, "Who invited him? Where did he come from?" And nobody seemed to know, and so we began to trace where he was from and his neighborhood, and we discovered where he stayed, and I sat down with Pa Emmanuel some months ago, and I said, "Who invited you to our church? What led you to Faith Baptist Church?" And he began to share that he grew up in the Catholic Church, had been in the Catholic Church his whole life for 80 years. He's been in the Catholic Church, and he's been warned time and time again about all these new churches. And he figured at 80 years old, he was going to go pop in and visit a couple of these new churches and see what they were all about. And he heard the preaching of the gospel, and he heard the music, and he liked the fellowship there. And so he came back again and again. And so I began to ask him about his own spiritual condition. And I quickly learned that for 80 years, he had been trying to be a good enough Christian, a good enough person to reach heaven and to have eternal life. And I asked Pa Emmanuel if I could take God's Word and show him from God's Word how he could know for sure that all of his sins were forgiven and that he would spend eternity with Christ. And he was very willing for me to do that. And I took my Bible out, and maybe an hour later, Pa Emmanuel bowed his head. He quit trying to reach heaven, and for the first time in his life, he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, based on the message right here in this book. Pa Emmanuel depended on the gospel message provided in this book for his salvation, and you can do the same this evening. I think on a Sunday evening, probably everyone here is a member, or maybe you are visiting this evening. I want to encourage you that if you've been trying your whole life to reach heaven, I want to challenge you, quit trying and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He died in your place. He said, "It is finished." There's no more work. There's no more trying to be done. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved this evening. I'd like to mention four names of some men who eventually put their dependence in the gospel message provided in this book right here. And it's going to sound like a joke at first because of their diverse backgrounds, but believe me, it's not. These are real men. The first one is an archaeologist named Sir William Mitchell Ramsay. He was actually knighted by royalty for his archaeological accomplishments and investments in that field and so forth. And one day someone came to him and said, "Listen, would you be willing to look in the scriptures and compare with science, all right, the facts of archaeology, and would you disprove, as a critic, would you disprove the scriptures from your..." And he said, "No problem, I'd be happy to do that." He focused his attention on the book of Acts and the traveling of Paul particularly, but he started to study the scriptures. And as he studied the scriptures and began to compare with science, he learned quickly and right away that there weren't any errors in the book of Acts. In fact, his conclusion was that Luke is perhaps the most accurate historian of all time. That was his conclusion and his find in comparing the archaeological finds and the scriptures. And as a result of that, Sir William Mitchell Ramsay realized that the scriptures are true. I can imagine him starting in Acts chapter 1 and getting bombarded with the gospel in chapter 2 and going through the book of Acts. And he came to the conclusion that this book is true and you can depend on this book, not just for archaeology, but for salvation. And he did, in fact, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. The next name I want to mention is a journalist. He was an award-winning journalist with the Chicago Tribune, Lee Strobel. And he decided from his journalistic background that he was going to examine the claim of the Bible that Jesus rose from the dead. He was going to look at all the evidence from an objective journalist perspective, and he was going to examine whether or not the resurrection of Jesus Christ was possibly true. And it did not take him long in his study, although he did study for months and months on the issue. He realized that the Bible is true, that Jesus Christ is who he claimed, that he did rise from the dead. And if that is true, he was going to have to adjust his life for this one who died in his place. And Lee Strobel also trusted Christ as his Savior, coming from an objective opinion or a perspective and examining these inspired scriptures that we hold in our hands. He trusted Christ as Savior. Next, we're going to examine the life of a lawyer, Josh McDowell. He has written books on the subject and his journey, but from a critical perspective, decided that he was going to examine the scriptures as a lawyer and see if there was enough evidence to support the scriptures. And of course, just like the others, he realized, yes, the Bible is true. It is dependable. And he put his confidence and trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now the last one, again, we've looked at a lawyer and a journalist and an archaeologist. The last one is actually a magician, if you can believe that. Andre Cole is a magician. He worked with Copperfield. In fact, he was one very instrumental in helping to make the Statue of Liberty disappear. I don't know if any of you remember that. It's still there, by the way. He put it back when he was done with his illusion. And anyway, he worked with Copperfield and was a world, and it still is, a world-famous magician. Well, he was challenged to look at the miracles of the Bible and to show how they were just illusions, that they were just tricks, that they weren't actually supernatural miracles. And Andre Cole took the challenge and said, "Hey, that's no problem at all. If I can make the Statue of Liberty disappear, I'm sure I can show how these other miracles were tricks and illusions." But you know what? Andre Cole started to get into the scriptures and he started to look and examine the miracles of the Bible. And you know what his final conclusion was? The same as the magicians in Egypt in Moses' day. This is the finger of God. And Andre Cole repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He spends more than half of his year now going around the world using his illusions to open the door to share the gospel. And then the other half he's doing, I guess, whatever magicians do and traveling and so forth. But you know what? All of those men have one thing in common. They came to the Bible expecting one thing, and the Word of God they learned is dependable. And all of them put their faith in Christ for salvation. You too, as well, can put your faith, your dependence in the Word of God for salvation. Let's look at the next verse, number 2. Verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect." You know, in Cameroon, we have a lot of charismatic influence, thousands and thousands of charismatics, and probably thousands of Pentecostal churches. And many of those churches are having a new revelation from God pretty much every week. God spoke to me this week, and I'm going to share with you what God shared with me, or through prophecy or tongues or some other revelation from God. But you know what? My Bible says right here that everything we need to live a perfect, complete, lacking nothing life is found right here in the Scriptures. God's complete, inspired revelation is right here in our hands. We don't need anything else. You can depend on what you have right here to live a sanctified, complete, and perfect life that is pleasing to Christ. That's encouraging to me. That's a blessing. You can depend on God's Word for your sanctification, your walk with the Lord. Keep your finger here in 2 Timothy, but turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to show you in Ephesians chapter 4 what sanctification through the Word of God looks like and should be like in each of our lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, I'm going to read some verses, and I am intentionally going to make a mistake in my reading. So I want you to follow along very closely and see if you spot the error that I make in reading. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, the Bible says, "If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and that ye put on the new man, which after..." Did you see what I did there? What happened? I skipped a verse, didn't I? Let's go back. Let's not skip that. You know, so many times we hear about the put off, put on principle. And in fact, we see a lot of that in psychology and in methods to overcome habits and addictions in the world today. But there's something missing if we just talk about put off, put on. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, if we are in the process of sanctification, and if we keep telling ourselves, "I need to stop doing bad and do what is right, stop doing bad, do what is right," if we are not renewed in the spirit of our mind through the Scriptures, if we do not begin to think the way God wants us to think from the Scriptures, we're never going to be able to continue living the life that God wants us to live. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's sanctification. That process of being separated from sin to God until we are glorified and made like Him. That sanctification process completely. If we had time, we could continue on in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul actually gives some examples there of put on, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put off, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on. One of the examples there is a thief. If a man is a thief, the Bible says he needs to stop stealing. He needs to think about possessions the way the Scriptures teaches us to think about possessions. That is, they are from God, and they are to be used for His honor and glory. And then he needs to get a job. Actually, it says work with his hands, those things. All right, he needs to get a job. All right, and while he is working and he puts on getting a job and working with his hands, he, with the renewed mind, is going to understand that with that income, he is now going to be able to help and be a blessing to others who are in need. Not just quit stealing and get a job. There's a lot of people that will tell you that today, all right? Why are you doing this? Get a job. Take care of yourself. No, they need to understand, from the Scriptures and be renewed in the spirit of their mind. What possessions are all about? What is money all about? What are we supposed to do with money? That comes from an understanding of the Scriptures. So, number one, you can depend on God's Word for salvation, but you can also depend, all of us in this room, can depend on God's Word in this area of sanctification. I remember when I was in Bible college, way back in the 20th century, and we had a chapel service, and a pastor came in and preached in the chapel service, and I don't think I'll ever forget this. I'm not recommending this. Pastor, I'm not recommending this. All right, I'm just conveying a testimony that he shared. He said that in his church of several hundred people, he felt like all he was doing during the week was counseling. Now, there's nothing wrong with counseling, but his frustration was it seemed like every person who was coming for counseling was coming about an issue that he had just preached a series on Wednesday night on that very issue, and obviously they weren't in church, so they missed it, and now they needed counseling. Or he had just covered that on Sunday morning in his message, and they, for some reason, weren't there, but now they needed counseling. And so he came up with a very interesting policy in his church. He told his secretary, he told the church, from now on, if you want counseling, you're going to call the office, and you are going to get an appointment exactly 1 month from the day that you call. And during that month, you're going to have to make a commitment. You're going to be in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time the Scripture is preached, you're going to be under it. And every day for the next month, you're going to have to commit to reading the Bible and having a devotional time every day for a month. This is what he told us. He said, after some time, in fact, by that time, I think it had been a solid year. He said, over the past year, I have had zero counseling appointments. Now, I know most of you are thinking, yeah, that's because everybody left the church, right? I know that's what you're thinking. But actually, what happened was, as people started to get into this book right here, every day, they started rushing up to the pastor the next Sunday and say, hey, pastor, look what I found in my devotions this week. This is exactly what I was going to talk to you about. This is my problem, right? And God's Word has the answer. And by the way, go ahead and cancel that appointment. I don't need it next month. Time and time again. Why? Because this book right here has everything that we need. According to this verse, it says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that every single one of us in this room may be perfect, lacking nothing in our life and our relationship with Jesus Christ. You can depend on this book right here. I mentioned that couple, Raymond and Apollonia, who came to church and said, listen, our marriage is a mess. We have a little boy. God's will is his name. We have a little boy, and our marriage has fallen apart. Would you give us some direction? And the first session, I didn't go to some method. I didn't parrot some personality or something I learned on television. We went to this book right here, and we opened the Word of God. And in that first session, Raymond trusted Christ as his Savior. And as the weeks of counseling went on, and as they started attending the church faithfully, God transformed that marriage and that family. What a joy it was, as you saw in the video tonight, to be able to baptize Raymond just before we came back on this furlough. And to see the joy. I can't tell you how many times Raymond thanked me that last Sunday. Thank me. Thank the Lord. I mean, just keep following this book right here. Put your dependence in this book, and you'll be able to continue growing and in your walk in sanctification. The Word of God is dependable. Let's look at this last point here. Verse 17, you can depend on the Word of God, not only for salvation and sanctification, but also for your service to the Lord. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In your service to the Lord, you can depend on this book right here. You can depend on it. The Bible has everything that you need to be a blessing and a ministry to others. Now, why is it dependable? The Bible tells us in verse 16 why it is dependable. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's amazing to me, as I like to read, I do a lot of reading, I like to listen to audiobooks when I'm traveling and so forth. But it's amazing to me all of this talk in evangelicalism today about new perspectives on inspiration. Now, I'm not going to claim that I can articulate what inspiration is all about. But the word inspiration means breathed out of the mouth of God. And the Bible talks about this book being the oracles of God. This book is dependable because every single word has been given and has come out of the mouth of God. God is not a liar. God's word is dependable. And that is why we can depend on it tonight. It's out of the mouth of God. And it's been preserved for us. And what a blessing as we look at the verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God and how God has preserved it for us today. We can depend on this book because it's not a man-made book. It's come right from the mouth of God. Now, as I was saying about our service and those good works that God wants from us, turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to round up in this passage here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and see what our good works, our service should look like in one sense, in our service to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I trust that if I ask how many of you in here this evening are new creatures in Christ, I hope that all of you, if not most of you, would be able to raise your hand and say, "I am a new creature. I remember the place and the time." Maybe you don't remember the date. I don't remember the date I became a new creature, but I do remember the circumstances. I remember the conviction. I remember all of the circumstances of that day and trusting Christ as my Savior. If you're a new creature in Christ, continue with me. In verse 18, the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Every single person in here who is a new creature in Christ is in the ministry. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Every single one of you. I hope you understand that. I hope that isn't a shock to you. All right? You thought Pastor Slagle was in the ministry and you're... No, we're all in the ministry. All right? If you're a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, this passage in 2 Corinthians says, you are in the ministry. Now, if that's scary, remember our point. You can depend on the Word of God. Let's continue on here. Verse 19 says, "To wit," I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, "to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the Word of reconciliation." Wow. Not only are we in the ministry, and has God given to us the ministry of reconciliation, but this passage tells us that God has given us one tool, and that is the Word of reconciliation. And we know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this book right here can change lives. Not our convincing, not our articulate, wise words of counsel, but this book right here is what changes lives. Let's continue on. The Word of reconciliation, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So you're in the ministry of reconciliation. And God has blessed us, each and every one of us, with the Word of reconciliation. What a blessing, what an encouragement. I'd like to close this evening with verse 21, not because it supports the third point of the message, but just because it happens to be one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him," God the Father, "made Jesus Christ, made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." If you're here this evening and you're a child of God and you've kind of been letting your devotional life slip, you've not been depending on this book right here for your sanctification. You've not reminded yourself that you are in the ministry, and every day you wake up and you go out into this world, you're left in this world as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're in the ministry. And maybe you've forgotten that, or maybe you're intimidated. Let me remind you, you have the gift of God called the Word of Reconciliation. Use it. Apply it. Share it with others. If you're here this evening and you're like Pa Emmanuel that I mentioned at the beginning, and all your life you have been trying to reach heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, in your righteousness, you're going to fall short. You will fall short of the glory of God. But almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into this world. And He died on the cross for you, for your sin. And as He gave up the ghost, He said, "It is finished." And on that cross, God the Father turned His back on His precious Son. Why? Because He was taking the sin of the world upon Himself. God the Father turned and in a sense forsook His own Son because of your sin and my sin that was placed on Him. So that tonight, if you will repent and put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Him, this verse says, God will take your sin and put it on His Son, Jesus Christ, and He will take the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He will put it on you. He will clothe you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Stop trying. Stop trying. Romans says everyone's going around trying to make their own righteousness. Stop trying and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Let's all stand together for a word of prayer. Our Father, once again, we do thank You that You have given us this precious book that we hold in our hands, that every single word has been kept for us. And we can depend on it in every area of our life. In our finances, we can depend on the Word of God. In our marriage, we can depend on the Word of God. In our ministry to others, we can depend on the Word of God. Dear Father, thank You for this precious, precious gift, the Word of Reconciliation. Bless now again, as I prayed earlier, have Your will and Your way this evening. In Jesus' name.